lifetimeincome.org.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Coming up, what do you do if you are low income, but not so low income that you don't qualify for Medicaid? Where can you go for health care? And also, we're going to talk about back to school physicals and immunizations. And then later on, we're going to talk about some of the big issues in today's news. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. My guest this morning is Melanie Hall. She is Executive Director of the Family Healthcare Foundation. She's been on MNF many times before because she's an expert on the Affordable Care Act. But today we're going to talk about something a little bit different, at least for the first part, and that is the Hillsborough County Healthcare Plan. And Melanie, welcome back to WMNF. Great to see you.
Thanks, Rob. It's great to be here.
All right. So you wanted to come on to talk about the fact that there is a healthcare plan in Hillsborough County for the working poor that not everybody knows about. It's pretty famous. It was passed with the help of former Hillsborough County Commissioner Phyllis Buzanski years ago. It involves a sales tax that funds what was called at the time indigent healthcare. Tell us a little bit more about the plan. Who is eligible for this healthcare plan?
Sure. Well, in fact, more people very recently are eligible now because the Hillsborough County Healthcare Plan eligibility was increased from 110% of the federal poverty level to just around 125%, which means now an individual can make up to right around $15,000. And if they aren't eligible for any of the other programs available, like Medicaid, for example, because they don't have a child and they don't qualify as a caretaker for Medicaid, or if they're making a little bit too much for Medicaid, as you said, but they're still under that 125%, they can actually enroll in the Hillsborough County Healthcare Plan, and there is no premium. You know, they have access to primary and specialty care. It's a really robust benefits package.
Mm-hmm. So if I'm a part of a wait staff at the restaurant, or if I'm a student and I have a part-time job, maybe I deliver pizza for a living, maybe I'm an adjunct faculty member or home healthcare worker, I might be able to get healthcare coverage through the Hillsborough County Healthcare Plan.
Absolutely. I think it's one of the best kept secrets in Hillsborough, in all honesty. I'm really still amazed when I'm out talking to people, and we are talking to them about the marketplace. And as we're doing an analysis of their income and family size, we realize that they're in that bracket that could qualify for the Hillsborough County Healthcare Plan, and they didn't realize it. And so instead of looking at what premiums might be on the marketplace, we can actually look at a program that they can qualify without having to pay a premium that will still provide them with that same coverage. Yeah, so we're really fortunate here in Hillsborough County.
How do I sign up?
Well, you can call us. Our phone number is 813-995-1066. And we are contracted by Hillsborough County to provide outreach and enrollment assistance. There are definitely some steps in enrolling, along with doing an online application. You also have, there are some forms that need to be signed. There are, you know, verifications of residency. There are some definite things that need to be provided, verification of assets, things like that. And as long as, you know, you have somebody assisting you through that process, and it can go fairly smoothly, and the enrollment can happen fairly quickly. So we really encourage people to call us.
All right. So, and we're going to give out that number again in a second. Our phone number here at WMNF, if you have a question about the Hillsborough County Healthcare Plan, is 813-239-9663. So if you want to talk with Melanie Hall directly, you can do that. So what happens when I'm eligible? Do I get a card that I can just take to a doctor or a hospital?
Absolutely. You get a card just like healthcare coverage in any other setting, and there are a list of clinics that you can go to for your care. You can choose your primary care provider. And then along with that, if you need specialist care, that primary care provider manages your care, makes sure that you get the specialist appointments that you need. The local hospitals, for the most part, accept this plan, and it gives you the ability to have that safety net, knowing that you're not going to potentially face medical bankruptcy, and knowing that it's not the fear of what health care will cost is not going to keep you from getting the care that you need.
So people who are already under the poverty line, they get Medicaid if that's their income. No,
not
they don't automatically get Medicaid?
Absolutely not. There are very definite, I mean, the poverty line is 100% of federal poverty, and that's about $12,000 for an individual. If you are a childless adult, you do not qualify for Medicaid at all. You can qualify for a program. Now, actually, even then, you don't qualify for Medicaid share of cost. If you could qualify for Medicaid in another situation, like you're a parent of a child, a caregiver of a child, but you're making a little bit too much to qualify for Medicaid, you can qualify for a safety net program called Medicaid Share of Cost if you have a large, for example, hospital bill. And Share of Cost does help in those situations. It doesn't give you access to primary care or any of the preventive services that you would need. So it's a nice safety net and a complement to the Hillsborough County Healthcare Plan, but it's certainly not healthcare coverage. Medicaid is for extremely low income. If you actually are a caregiver for a child or you are blind or disabled. In Florida, unlike other states around the country, we did not expand Medicaid under up to 100% of FPL, which is the way the Affordable Care Law was designed. So as a result, when Florida opted out of that particular option, it has left a number of Floridians without access to care.
You know, I'm actually kind of shocked that if you're below the poverty line, that you're not automatically eligible for Medicaid. That's pretty shocking.
It is. And we're only one of 19 states that opted out. And there are states still that are taking advantage of that even now. Maine and Virginia recently both just passed state laws that are allowing them even, you know, 5 years after the Affordable Care Act, to expand Medicaid and make sure that their residents get covered.
A little bit later on, I want to ask you a few questions about what's happening with the Affordable Care Act, if we could do that. Again, our phone number, 813-239-9663, and our email address is dj@wmnf.org. So the Hillsborough County Health Care Plan is for people up to $110,000 of the poverty line. 110% rather of the poverty line?
It used to be 110%. Recently, it was expanded to 125%.
Okay.
One of the reasons I wanted to come talk to you today, more people are eligible now and don't realize it. So again, as an adult, you can be making up to about $15,000 a year as a single adult and still qualify, which is, again, one of the more generous county plans in our area.
And what if you have a partner or what if you have a small family?
So if it's two adults, because again, children up to 200% are going to be covered by either Medicaid or CHIP. However, two adults can make up to right around $20,000 a year and still qualify.
Okay, so kids are covered under CHIP.
And Medicaid.
All right. What about we have listeners all over, but especially we have listeners in Polk County and Pasco County and Sarasota and Manatee County and Pinellas County. If somebody's living outside of Hillsborough County, are there similar programs?
So I can speak to the counties that we work in. Polk and Pinellas both also have indigent health care plans within their county, and I would encourage folks to contact their local health departments to learn more about those opportunities. Up in Pasco, there is not a county health plan. And so residents there really do rely on the federally qualified health center, their community health centers, for sliding scale services.
Our phone number, 813-239-9663. When you call, you'll be talking with Jeff Haynes, and I think I need some health care too because I'm losing my voice. But Jeff Haynes will be the phone producer today. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. So if people are in Hillsborough County and they want to sign up for the plan, one of the ways to sign up for the plan is to call the Family Healthcare Foundation, right?
That's correct. And our phone number is 813-995-1066.
And there are people there all the time, I imagine. Answering the phones.
I actually carry the phone with me.
Oh, you do?
Okay. I do.
All right. Let's take a few phone calls. And this caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Jean, Tampa.
Hi, Jean.
I just wanted to ask about, isn't there something about assets too?
There are.
It's not just your income, but it's your assets.
That's
because
correct.
Because a lot of people have low income here, but they've, you know, been frugal and saved, so they still would not qualify.
That's true. And so one of the thresholds is that if you have assets greater than $5,000, that doesn't include your house or your car, those kinds of things. But if you have savings, it's five. It's five.
Is that just Hillsborough County, or is that?
It's Hillsborough County, yes. I'm speaking
about... Okay, so Hillsborough's five, because I think the general federal is two.
It's possible. Well, there's not really a federal plan that would cover by county, but each, like I said, you may be in a different county that has a different assets threshold. Here in Hillsborough, it is $5,000.
Okay, thanks.
Sure. Thank you.
All right, Jean. Thanks a lot. So I want to ask you, too, about back to school, because a lot of kids or parents are going to go back to school. Some are going to go for the first time. And what kind of shots or what kind of things, physicals, do you need before you go back to school in August?
So I'm so glad you asked, because, again, here in Hillsborough County, but also in some of our surrounding counties like Pinellas County, the school districts partner with health systems and volunteers out in the community that will come in and provide back-to-school fairs. And those fairs then provide physicals and immunization, so that if a child is entering kindergarten or seventh grade and they have very specific immunization requirements, they make sure that those children are up to date and start school on time. So there are several events here in Hillsborough County, and if people go on the school district website for Hillsborough County Public Schools, they can find a list of those. There are some that require pre-registration. There are a couple that do not. And so there's a list and a flyer available on the website that can help you decide the best place to go. You can make an appointment, and your child can get whatever care they need before they start school.
And these festivals, these fairs, usually take place 2 or 3 weeks out from school? Is that when they take place?
They start in July. Most of them are on Saturdays in July. The last one, we have two on August the 4th, which is the last Saturday before school starts.
Is there a list somewhere of all the county fairs or the school fairs in each county that you can, I imagine you can go to the school board website and figure out where they are.
Correct. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And like I said, I know that on the Hillsborough County Public Schools website, there's a list, and I'm assuming there is also on Pinellas, but if not, again, if someone wants to call our number, I can make sure that they get the information about Pinellas County as well.
And that number is 813-995-1066.
Correct.
All right, so finally I want to ask you about the Affordable Care Act, so-called Obamacare. Is it dead? Is it, or is it still being, is it still available to people?
It is absolutely still available. And so open enrollment will begin November 1st. And it will last through December 15th. If you remember last year, we had gone from a 3-month open enrollment period the week before to 6 weeks this past year. And we came on the show and we talked about the fact that we weren't sure how that reduced amount of time would affect people being enrolled. And interestingly enough, in Florida, we were almost level in 6 weeks to what we had done the year before in 3 months. So Florida, clearly, there's a need for this program. We lead the country in enrollments. And, you know, here in our local area, enrollment continues to stay strong. And so there will be plans available. We had people that were happier last year than the year before, because even though there was increases in premiums, tax credits rise accordingly. And so as a result, people were getting more tax credits and actually finding cheaper plans than the year before. So we found that the reduced amount of time for enrollment and the increases, all of those things that we were worried would, that people would shy away from, didn't really affect enrollment here. And there were still a lot of people in our area that were able to benefit from tax credits that made healthcare affordable for them.
So when the enrollment time comes up again this year, what do you expect? What kind of changes would you expect from the last fiscal year to the coming fiscal year for the Affordable Care Act?
So a couple of things have changed. One is, when the tax bill was passed in December, one of the things that happened is they didn't actually repeal the personal responsibility payment, you know, or the fine. But what they did is zero it out. So there won't be an actual fine for people not wanting to enroll. going into the 2018 tax season. However, most of the people that we talk to, most of the people that we help enroll are not enrolling because they're mandated to do so. They're enrolling because they don't have access to anything that's affordable for them. Either, you know, a lot of companies right now aren't even offering employee-sponsored insurance if they're under a certain number of employees. Some of them are providing stipends for their employees to get coverage on the marketplace. And then there are others who are self-employed or they're cobbling together three or four part-time jobs, and they don't have access to employee-sponsored insurance. So for them, this is a really affordable option.
So is it too early to call you? And I mean, you're what's called a navigator, too. That's one of the hats that you wear, that your foundation helps people navigate the Affordable Care Act and sign up. Is it too early to call your organization about the coming enrollment period for Obamacare?
No. So we are certainly happy to answer questions for anyone as they're trying to figure out what to do for the next enrollment period. There are probably people out there, though, that are still able to qualify for something called a special enrollment period. So if they've had any of those normal life changes, they've had a baby, gotten married, moved into our area, lost coverage from a job, all of those things might qualify them now for a special enrollment period. And they have a 60-day window in order to go ahead and enroll. We are doing a lot of special enrollment period enrollments right now. So again, that same number, 995-1066, is a number that anyone that's interested in any of these coverage types that we've talked about today, including Florida Kid Care, you can call that number. We can get you to the right person to provide that one-on-one assistance and make sure that you get enrolled in the program that best meets your needs.
Are there going to be navigators in the coming enrollment period? Are there going to be people that help us sign up for Obamacare?
Well, by law, there have to be. So there has to be at least one navigator program per state. We're a little concerned at the moment because the call for proposals for that funding has not been released yet. And normally that would have happened in April, and we are now at the end of June. And so we're certainly on the edge of our seats waiting for that call for proposals to be released so that we can once again apply to be able to be available here in our community to provide that one-on-one assistance. Mm.
I want to ask you about something, and this is not really your responsibility, but I just want to relate something that's happening here, and that is that MNF has always been kind of a small D Democratic place where the workers kind of look at the budget and help decide the budget of MNF in the future. And one of the things that we're lucky enough to have is health insurance via our employer here at WMNF. And for 30, you know, or ever since we started having health insurance about 30 years ago, the health insurance has gone up every year. This year is no exception. This year, our current plan is being phased out. So we've got to shop. For a new plan, and we're finding out that health insurance is going to be even more expensive than it was last year. What's your take on why health insurance keeps going up?
So before the Affordable Care Act was passed, and one of the impetus for the law was the fact that there were double-digit increases in commercial insurance every year. And it had gotten to the point that it was almost a bit of a healthcare crisis. You know, you had people that were using emergency departments in local hospitals for their primary care because they had no other access. You had people that, healthy young people that were not enrolling in health insurance because they saw it as an unnecessary expense. And as a result of a lot of different factors, the cost for healthcare for those of us that are commercially insured continue to rise at an astounding rate because someone pays for all of those things. And it's a cumulative effect. What we have seen is, and I know it doesn't feel like it sometimes when you're looking at your personal plans, but what we have seen is for commercial insurance, the rate of increases has actually slowed in the last 5 years. What we're concerned about is when you zero out that mandate and you've got those young, healthy folks, as we refer to them sometimes, young invincibles, who don't think that it's a necessary expense for them to get health insurance, is that you're taking out those healthy folks, and what you're doing is sort of skewing that risk pool to a more expensive population, and that may affect all of us again in commercial insurance, in the marketplace, anybody that's purchasing plans. So we're hoping that people understand the value of health insurance. I think we're hearing, even from the young, healthy folks that we're assisting, I've had two or three consumers I've assisted that are 21. I've met them at, you know, Hillsborough Community College or some of the sites that we're at, and they've gotten in a car accident afterwards, or one of them was a cook in a restaurant, had a fairly serious cut that he had to go to the hospital for. So when you look at those kinds of situations, people start to create that value of health insurance. And we're hoping that that value over these last 5 years has been created enough in the population that we keep our enrollment fairly steady, and that will help keep costs from rising to the extent that we saw before this law.
Mm-hmm. But the danger is that if it's only older and people who are less healthy people in the insurance pool, in the Obamacare insurance pool, then prices will go up.
Unless, sure.
Yeah. But if sure. you're able to spread the risk among the whole population, the prices are likely to go down or remain stable.
That was certainly the intent of the program.
Yeah. So, Melanie, we started this conversation by talking about the healthcare plan in Hillsborough County, which is available to people at 125% of poverty or below, the working poor, the people that have part-time jobs, and maybe they're students or maybe they're elderly people but not yet ready for Medicare. We had a listener, Judy, says, I'm listening in Manatee County. Is there a similar plan in Manatee County for the working poor?
So, Judy, unfortunately, I don't work down in Manatee County, but I would really encourage you to contact your local county Health and Human Services Department or Health Department and find out if there's something that exists down in Manatee County that provides the same kind of services.
All right. Well, Melanie Hall of the Family Healthcare Foundation, thanks a lot for coming by. If people want to find out more about access to the Hillsborough County Healthcare Plan, they can call you, right?
They can. They can also go on our website, which is familyhealthcarefdn.org.
And Melanie, is there anything else that we should have covered in this interview that you'd like to point out to our listeners that they need to know about healthcare?
Again, I think as we're talking about the Hillsborough County Healthcare Plan, I personally just feel very proud to live in a county that has provided the model for how we should take care of our neighbors. excuse me. But I also, so I'm very pleased that we have the opportunity to do that work. But I also think that if people are looking for whatever their options are, one of the things that I'm proud of with our organization is that we really are a one-stop shop at this point. Anything that anyone might be eligible for, we can help anyone get enrolled in and make sure that they are finding the most affordable plan that meets the needs of their family.
Well, before I let you go, let's talk with Heather, who just called in a second ago, and I think Heather has a question. Let's see if we can get her on. Heather, you're on with Melanie Hall. What's your question?
Is that me you want to speak to, Heather?
Yeah, that's you, Heather.
Oh, okay. It was so quick that I almost didn't see it happening. I live in Pinellas County. I volunteer in Pasco County, and one of the services for Pasco that is very not known of is the senior community center at Quad Pepper, where the recreation center is on Van Buren. And we accept clients that have no insurance and that are low-income adults. So generally when they reach 65, they leave the clinic. We offer all kinds of services, melanoma, checkup day. We have doctors, volunteers, and nurses volunteering for appointments 3 days a week. We have a wound care specialist that comes in. We have occupational therapy, referrals to dermatologists, all kinds of things. And the number there is 844-3077. Also, anyone can call 211 for community resources on their telephone and say where they're living, and they'll get help. Also, there's a website on the computer if you're not in health.
And Heather, Heather, the clinic in Pasco County that you volunteer at, what's the name of the clinic again?
It's the Care Senior Center.
It's the Care.
CARES, CARES Senior Center.
All right. And what's the phone number of people are in Pasco County?
844-3077.
3077. And what age group is eligible for the services?
Adult up to 65.
So if I'm in my 20s, I'm eligible, and if I'm 61, I'm eligible.
If you're low income. Yes,
okay.
If you're low income.
Well, that's good to know. And is that the 813 area code, Heather?
No, that's 727.
Okay.
We're on the other side of the bay.
All right, 727-844-3077.
Yeah.
Heather, thanks so much for letting us know about that.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
And thank you, Heather, for bringing that up, because one of the things that we have found also is that there are folks in all of these, you know, in several different counties that may not qualify for any of these programs, whether because of immigration status, they don't have enough quarters worked yet to get enrolled in the Pinellas County plan, or, you know, there are different, by county, different requirements. So one of the things that we've been able to do is really work with the network of free and charitable clinics that are available in all of these counties that are providing amazing services out to residents in each of the counties. We have some great ones here in Hillsborough, but it's Heather, I'm so glad you brought that up, because along with the federally qualified health care centers that provide services on a sliding scale, you do have free and charitable clinics out there. Ultimately, what we hope for is people find coverage to get all the preventive services that we'd like for everyone to have, the mammograms and colonoscopies and all those things that keep us healthy. But there are a great system and network out there of free clinics that we're all grateful for and are doing tremendous work.
All right. And of course, the St. Pete Free Clinic is out there, and the Judeo-Christian Clinic in Hillsborough County is there. Clearwater has a free clinic. So there are lots of ways if you need health care right now. And Melanie Hall, thank you so much for coming by WMNF.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
All right. And we will continue to pay attention to healthcare as we've done for 39 years here on WMNF. Well, this is 88.5 FM WMNF in Tampa. In a moment, we're going to talk about some of the issues that are in the news headlines. Some music from Oliver Mitikudzi. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. I'm Rob Lori. This is Radioactivity. We're going to open up the phone lines and take your phone calls in just a moment. Jeff Haynes is our phone producer today. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court says government workers cannot be forced to contribute to labor unions that represent them in collective bargaining, dealing a serious financial blow to organized labor. The justices are scrapping a 41-year-old decision that had allowed states to require that public employees pay some fees to unions that represent them, even if the workers choose not to join that union. The 5-4 decision today fulfills a longtime wish of conservatives to get rid of the so-called fair share fees that non-members pay to unions in roughly 24 states. So a big decision in the U.S. Supreme Court about unions today, and we're going to hear a whole lot more about that as the week goes on. Well, a federal judge in California has ordered U.S. border authorities to reunite separated families within 30 days. If the children are younger than 5, they must be reunified within 14 days of yesterday's order, the judge said. More than 2,000 children have been separated from their parents in recent weeks and placed in government-contracted shelters. There was an upset in the Democratic primary in New York City in the Queens Bronx area. It cost a top congressman his seat, bringing new attention to divisions within the Democratic Party. Congressman Joe Crowley is the number 4 House Democrat and had been considered a possible replacement for leader Nancy Pelosi. But a 28-year-old liberal activist, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, defeated Crowley. Ocasio-Cortez is a Democratic socialist, and she appeared on Democracy Now! This morning, if you heard it. We replay Democracy Now! At 5 o'clock on our HD3 channel, so they have a long interview with the person who is likely to become the next congressperson from the Bronx-Queens area. And that's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Well, the chairman of the Congressional Black Caucus is defending Democratic Congresswoman Maxine Waters for telling an audience to push back on members of President Donald Trump's cabinet in public settings. Representative Cedric Richmond says it's clear that Congresswoman Waters did not incite violence and instead was encouraging Americans to exercise their constitutional rights to speak out against separating immigrant children from their parents. He questions why the national conversation on civility is not focused on Donald Trump. That's become a big issue. In fact, this morning, the Republican National Committee issued an ad that is very dismissive of what some Democrats and people on the left have been saying the last few days. The RNC is suggesting that people on the left have gone over the edge. Let's listen to this new Republican National Committee ad.
A few years ago, ideas that we talked about were thought to be fringe ideas, radical ideas, extremist ideas. Those ideas are now mainstream.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless c***.
What's Uncle Tom but for white women who disappoint other white women?
One way you get rid of Trump is a crashing economy, so please bring on the recession.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
Well, that's a new ad from the Republican National Committee that's just out this morning called Left Unhinged. And it features some comedians in there. We hear Bill Maher in there, two actors. Johnny Depp is in there. Madonna's in there. And then Congresswoman Maxine Waters. There's others that the RNC is portraying in that ad. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. When did things turn so uncivil? There's a great column in the New York Times today by Michelle Goldberg in which Michelle really argues that people who are out of power have the right to speak up the way that some Democrats have been speaking up in the last few days. What do you think? When did our country become so uncivil? 813-239-9663. And what do you think of that RNC ad? We're going to go back and listen to a little bit of a Tea Party protest that took place when people back in 2010, 2011 were protesting Obamacare. Let's go back and try to find the roots of incivility here in the United States in modern times.
Tell us why you're out here today.
Well, I'm out here to change the government.
To stand up for God and our nation and preserve the land and our freedoms for our children and our grandchildren.
I'm out here for the tax. I mean, he's raising the taxes like crazy, and we need freedom. We didn't vote for this health care that he planned.
Because we're tired of the spending, tired of the lies that are going on, and we want to take our country back.
And what are some of the lies and the spending that you have particular problems with?
The bailout,
what are you coming out here necessarily to oppose, or what is your purpose here today?
Well, mainly it's the health care bill. Sure. That's trying to get pushed through. I don't really feel that that's the government's job.
Yeah. And can you tell me about the bills that are being proposed right now?
Not really.
There won't be enough doctors to take care of the people that he wants to bring on. I mean, we're going to be 200,000 doctors short.
So what should happen with these people without care?
A different plan.
Could a different plan produce more doctors?
No.
Not for people that are going to sit home, watch TV or have five or six children and be on welfare. It's not fair.
What do you think should happen with Medicare?
You may not want my opinion.
No,
abolish it.
Yeah.
Abolish it.
I was in healthcare for 20 years, and Medicare as it is now has worked very well, I think, for the populace.
And do you think we should expand it?
I think that it could be expanded to more of the population.
So tell me about this side.
Bury Obamacare with Kennedy. I mean, it sounds sarcastic, but we do need to bury that whole plan.
He's absolutely out of his mind.
What do you think here we have that he's the Antichrist?
It mentioned his name in the Bible. I think it was under Hebrew, but it stated Barack Obama, and they took his name and they separated his name, and they deciphered it, and Barack Obama in its content means Antichrist.
Obama has no emotion.
The Nazis had the brown shirts. Okay, Obama has proposed, and I keep hearing him talk about it. He wants to have a nation of, 2 million citizen army, armed as well as the army?
Well, he's talking about an army of volunteers to do volunteer work, right?
If they're going to be armed...
Well, I don't think they're going to be armed with weapons.
They're going to be armed as well as the army is.
What I'm saying is that Hitler was a good speaker. He turned a lot of people on with his eloquent speeches, and so is our current president.
What do you think, in your view, what is fascism here? What are you trying to tell us with your sign?
Well, if fascism is a form of socialism, I would believe. I mean, they're all intertwined. Communism, fascism, socialism, they all have a little bit of each. They borrowed from each other.
Anything have to do with health care. We don't believe in socialized medicine. But I myself, a veteran that realized American dream because my hard work and 3 jobs, I like to take care of my own doctor and get the best doctor money can buy to take care of my wounds.
Okay, well, I'm ready.
It's called capitalism, sir. Socialized medicine does not work. I am originally from Nicaragua. I run away from communism. I realized that communism does not work. Socialism does not work. And the debt of America will be socialized medicine. That is so clear.
Well, that's just a part of a long, long series of audio that we played before about a Tea Party rally in 2010 in which people were protesting Obamacare. And I'm looking for the roots of incivility in the U.S. And our phone number is 813-239-9663. We heard the Republican ad. That was a Tea Party rally that people were being interviewed at in Washington, D.C. in 2013. And I'm asking you the question, what are the roots of our current incivility? Let's go back and listen to some of the pro-Trump activists who were helping President Trump get elected in 2016. This was the tenor of some of the Trump rallies in 2016.
I'm from here, my brother. Somebody touch my people.
South Boston brothers saw a homeless man on the street who they believed was Hispanic, and they beat him up. They broke his nose, they urinated on him, and when arrested, they told police that it was okay to assault the man because he was Hispanic and homeless. Quote, Donald Trump was right. All these illegals need to be deported.
Do you believe that you've done anything to create a tone where this kind of violence would be encouraged?
I hope not. I truly hope not.
Knock the crap out of him, would you? Seriously. Just knock the hell. I promise you, I will pay for the legal fees. I promise. In the good old days, this doesn't happen because they used to treat them very, very rough. And when they protested once, you know, they would not do it again so easily. I love the old days. You know what they used to do to guys like that when they were in a place like this? They'd be carried out on a stretcher, folks. Like to punch him in the face, I'll tell you.
Mr. Trump, 17 days later, that actually happened. One of your supporters decided to sucker punch a protester.
The protester never sees it coming. He's wrestled to the ground by deputies. The guy who smacked him goes right back to his seat.
You bet I liked it.
Yeah? What'd you like about it?
Knocking the hell out of that big mouth. Yes, he deserved it. The next time we see him, we might have to kill him.
Do you plan on paying for the legal fees of this older gentleman in North Carolina who sucker punched the protester?
From what I understand, he was sticking a certain finger up in the air,
and
that is a terrible thing to do front of somebody that, frankly, wants to see America made great again. And so we'll see. I'm going to take a look at it.
And that
but I want to see what that man was doing.
And that condones a sucker punch, though?
These are not people. Just remember that. Do whatever you have to do to them. I don't care. And you know what? I think I'm totally within my rights to say that.
Video.
Well, we're, and that's just part of a long series of clips that I've played before about the Trump campaign in 2016. So the question is, how did we reach this uncivil point or this incivil point? Now, there's a really interesting op-ed in the New York Times this morning. I'll just read the first two paragraphs. It's by Michelle Goldberg, and you should really read it if you can. We have a crisis of democracy, not of manners, writes Goldberg. And she says, last year, the white nationalist Richard Spencer was kicked out of his Virginia gym after another member confronted him and called him a Nazi. This incident did not generate a national round of hand-wringing about the death of tolerance, perhaps because most people tacitly agree that it's okay to shun professional racists. Goldberg goes on to write, it's a little more complicated when the professional racist is the president of the United States. The norms of our political life require a degree of bipartisan forbearance, but treating members of Donald Trump's administration as ordinary public officials rather than pariahs does more to normalize bigotry than exercising alongside a white separatist. So anyway, so we heard the RNC tape in which they have Madonna, Johnny Depp, Maxine Waters, and Bill Maher, sound bites from them, and one from Bernie Sanders. And we also heard a little bit of what President Trump said before he was elected president and some of what his supporters said. We also heard what some of the Tea Party supporters say. So the question is, where does this incivility come from? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. And we're going to go to Vivian in Tampa. Hi, Vivian. Where do you think it comes from?
Well, I've always, you know, I've had social insights. You know, I've always, it's not fair, unjust. I've never been able to deal with that. The injustice and the unfairness. But for me, my anger that I have these days, it started 2 years ago with Trump. Once he came down those stairs and started saying that Mexicans are rapists, are criminals, drug dealers, and not lately animals. My God, I can, the anger, the hurt, because I am a mother of two great, hardworking, two Hispanic men. And when a mother hears that, because what is the difference between a Mexican and a Hispanic? So he was referring to all Hispanics. He has degraded the the figure of the Hispanic man. I'm sorry. I talk about this, and I get so upset.
All right. Well, Vivian, we heard you loud and clear, and thanks a lot for coming on WMNF.
Thank you.
All right. So the question is, where did the incivility come from? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Michelle Goldberg in the New York Times today says, we have a crisis of democracy, not of manners. Let's go to Lenny in Englewood. Lenny, you're on. Where did this incivility come from?
Well, I would just like to make a comment that there's an old colloquialism you've heard a long time ago. I'm so perfect, my, say, poop doesn't stink. And that's basically the Republican viewpoint. Any kind of thing you want to talk about, that, you know, you were talking about now about civility, or tax cuts, you know, when Obama wanted to do, deficits rather, and Obama wanted to increase the deficit to provide more money into the economy when we really needed it, they were all against it. But now tax deficits are wonderful. You know, they whatever thing that they criticize the Democrats for or criticize others for, they do themselves. They're hypocritical, and that's that.
All right, Lenny, thanks a lot. Thanks for your views on the topic. Great to hear from you. Let's go to Gina in Tampa. Gina, where did this incivility come from?
Well, I'll tell you exactly where it started. It started with the candidacy of Donald Trump. I have never in my life, and I've been around a long time, I've never in my life ever heard a presidential candidate say at a campaign rally, tell one of his supporters to, excuse me, smack, what do you say, hit him in the head? I've never heard such a thing. You know, there have been protesters at campaign rallies all the time, and usually they're ignored or maybe they're booed away. But to scream on stage, you know, to commit violence is what he did. And he did it not just once, but numerous times. He set the tone for the campaign. He chased the other Republicans away because you could not have any discourse in that campaign. And now he's setting the tone as president of the country. What is really disturbing, though, to be honest, and I felt this way since last week when there was all this, in my opinion, strident and hysterical coverage of the immigration thing. That was important. People needed to cover it. Everybody did, but it was just getting way out of hand with, you know, people screaming at, for example, Pam Bondi at a restaurant. I don't think that sort of like that, oh, fight fire with fire. I don't think that's going to get this country anywhere except to make people very aggressive, and people will stop listening to each other. That doesn't add to the conversation. Now, I didn't read that column yet in the New York Times. I'm going to. I think we also have a problem with democracy, but I think we have more of a problem with just people being abusive and bullying to each other. That's just bullying. That's not saying like that woman, the Nielsen, who they screamed at her when she was in a restaurant, chased her away. That's not exercising democracy. That's just bullying.
All right. Okay.
Thank you.
Gina, thank you so much. Thanks for calling in. All right. So we're asking where all this incivility has come from. It's certainly been in the news for a long time, and it may have reached a peak this week. 813-239-9663 is our phone number here at WMNF. Let's go to Mary and Brandon. Mary, thanks for calling in. Where did this incivility come from?
Hey, Rob. Yeah, it started, you know, with the whole campaigning issue. I personally lived across the street where a woman hung an effigy of Hillary Clinton from her American flag post. And, you know, I was outnumbered. I think there was two Democrats in my entire neighborhood. And I was goaded. I had a woman come out going, oh, don't you like my decorations? And I'm like, you're an American vet. You fought for my freedom of speech, so I respect yours. What they're not expecting is intelligent discourse. What people are not expecting is somebody has a intelligent and intellectual approach to everything. Facts are no longer facts. You tell a lie long enough, it becomes the truth. It's a barroom brawl. I feel like since day one, we are in a giant universal bar, and people are just fisticuffing and beating the crap out of each other. It shows the ignorance of the Trump base. It shows the anger and outrage of our inability to vote for people, to get the right people in the office. The ones we have are inept and doing absolutely nothing. The revolution has started.
All right.
I really believe there's going to be a civil war and a revolution around all of this.
I hope
we're
not.
Democracy has died.
All right, Mary, and like just to be clear, you're the veteran or your neighbor was a veteran?
No, the lady who was goading me
was a veteran.
Asked me to, you know, she tried to get a rise out of me. And I totally respected her. You know what? That woman never spoke to me again because I told her the truth.
All right, Mary, thanks a lot.
That's all I do. Walk around telling the truth. It's irrelevant. Nobody wants to listen, but
okay, Mary. Thanks a lot.
Revolution. Bye.
All right, thanks. Let's go to John in Tampa. John, what would you say about incivility? Where did all this current incivility come from?
Well, I agree with all your last three or four callers. I hate to say this. It's getting to be overused and used too quickly. But really, this president, he takes the pages. You could take the pages right out of the rise of Adolf Hitler. And I really hate to say that, but it's getting to be so obvious to me. I mean, even the beer hall, like your last caller was talking about the beer halls. That's how Hitler got all of his political power. He would have all of his rallies in the beer halls and, make Germany great again. And, you know, it's just a mess. The sublime irony, though, to me, is that the people who have all these, and they are legitimate gripes about money and the jobs and the lack of unions and health care. They're banking on the wrong person. I mean, how could I say it? He's a clandestine operative for the Republicans. And the Republicans don't care about health care or Social Security. They made their money. It's pull yourself up by your bootstraps. If you don't have health insurance, that's your fault. That's what's passing in the background, see, every day. Supreme Court decisions, agency heads, policy changes, and no one's reading the fine print. But this stuff is going on behind the scenes. And in the meantime, we're arguing about some prostitute that he might have had or whatever. Okay, that's all I have. But
all right, John.
Shame.
All right, John, thanks a lot. David writes this, it's a sad about the decision on unions. Unfortunately, I think labor unions are just about dead now, and the conservatives have succeeded in dismantling them. It's all very Machiavellian, sad stuff. What happened to power to the people, writes David. And then Gary says the RNC propaganda machine is up and running. That's Gary's take. And then 813 writes, my motto is, when they go low, we get high. But that explains why Trump won. The Dems were smoking doobies and forgot to vote, writes 813. And Barry writes, civility went out the window long before now when a GOP congressman interrupted Obama with "you lie," when women were shamed and picketed while going for abortions, when Gabby Giffords was shot, when Trump blank, fill in the blank. The incivility on the left does not compare to anything on the right, writes Barry. And let's go back to the phones. We're going to go now to Mary in St. Pete. Hi, Mary. When did this incivility start?
I think it started when people became so angry when the middle class and lower class are being ignored. When that happens and you're not being fair, it causes people to get angry. And when people get angry and you have a leader who plays to that anger, it's not the Jerry Springer hour, it's the Donald Trump hour. And it's very easy to play to the anger. And so do we have a lot of angry people in this country right now? We certainly do. And we don't have good leadership like we did with Obama and Martin Luther King, who said, get your act together and have wise discourse and let's get together and solve these problems. We don't have that leadership. We have a Jerry Springer president.
All right, Mary.
And that's unfortunate.
Mary, thanks a lot. Thank you for your call. Jason writes this regarding incivility. Look for the roots of instability in American politics. Look no further than Newt Gingrich, writes Jason. Well, if you have a comment about this and you want to add it to the mix, you can call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on our comment line, which is extension 115. And I'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Now stay tuned for Midpoint with NOLA. This is WMNF Tampa St. Petersburg, the Bay Area's community radio station. And thanks to Jeff Haynes. He's our phone producer. We're going to go up to Washington.